This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
Culver, coming up this hour, we got Darren Barnes, author of Who.Game, Baseball's Amazing but True Stories, as we get ready to kick off the, pitch off the Major League Baseball season tomorrow with two games. A fascinating book. It takes a look at some of the more under-told stories of Major League Baseball and the history of baseball in general. A fun look and a fun read. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. So with the NBA starting scrimmages today, there was a report that Patrick Beverley of the Clippers has left for personal reasons. He's getting out of the bubble. Zion Williamson did the exact same thing. Montrezl Harrell did the exact same thing. A number of players have had to leave the bubble for personal reasons and, come back and they get quarantined and, then they continue along once they do clear the quarantine. This is going to be interesting as the season progresses, because when you have a non-COVID season, players deal with personal issues all the time, but they continue to play, right? They may have a family matter that they have to take care of, that they have to be there. Maybe it's a meeting with a teacher. Maybe it's a meeting with a doctor. Maybe it's dealing with something with their kids or their wife or an uncle or a brother or a grandfather. Things we don't know. Personal matters that we never find out about, because one, it's really none of our business. But they deal with it because at the end, they can still go to the arena at night and play. And if they're on the road, they know they'll be back home within a couple of days. Maybe they can handle it then. But when you ask players to be in a bubble, in a quarantine bubble for a long period of time, especially if you're on the Lakers, the Clippers, Milwaukee, or a team that's expected to make a deep run, and you know that the ending could be October, there is no escape from it unless you get out of the quarantine. You can't just disappear for a few hours, take care of that family matter, and then just return to work. Head to the arena that night for game two of your playoff series. So you're going to see this pop up a lot if the matter warrants their direct involvement. They're going to have to leave. If a player lives in Milwaukee and there's an urgent family matter that normally he would deal with without the media even knowing about or asking about because it's during his off time. Off time in this quarantine means you're in the quarantine bubble, right? So I'm curious, as life gets in the way, if you will, to some of the star players, will they have to leave and be quarantined when they come back?
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb, the Wednesday edition as we continue with Wake Up Call. All right, let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day, NWSL.
NWSL, National Women's Soccer League.
Right.
What did they do?
Well, there's a new team on the horizon that'll debut in 2020 that is headlined by, I don't know, by a lot of prominent women.
Okay, so this is a team that's got a lot of powerful women behind it.
Yes, such as Natalie Portman, Serena Williams, just to name a few. A couple others, Jessica Chastain, America Ferrera, Jennifer Garner, Evan Longoria. Then if you look at the soccer side of it, you have Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm, Abby Wambach.
There's so why are all of them interested in one team rather than the league in general?
I think they all just pulled their money together into an investment group. I mean, there's a couple other.
How much could this possibly cost?
That's my question. I haven't been able to find that answer.
These multimillionaires to participate.
I think they all just want a little piece of the pie, I guess. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be better if they all just went for the whole league? Like, said Serena will take the Philadelphia team, and Natalie Portman took the Miami team, and Julie Foudy took the Minnesota team or whatever.
I mean,
them to get involved. That is great.
Yeah, you would think that, but I mean, I don't know. I found it funny. I don't know how much when you look at when investment groups buy a team,
right?
Like Derek Jeter is the main voice out of who bought the Marlins, or the main guy we know from
bought the Marlins. But it's all a bunch of
people. There's like
people.
Four or five other businessmen, real estate investors who all just kind of chipped in their millions.
Right.
Same thing like with the LA Dodgers. I don't really know most of the other guys, but I do know Magic Johnson.
Remember when Phil Mickelson wanted to buy the Padres and he had this investment group? Yeah, he would have been the probably the more prominent name.
Right. We wouldn't have known the other guys because the other guys are, you know, bankers or real estate moguls or whatever they might be.
So who do you think the face of this will be? Who do you think?
Well, apparently right now it looks like it's Natalie Portman since she's the one who kind of came up with the whole idea or kind of spearheaded it all. And then Serena Williams and her daughter. I guess she
great.
Daughter is maybe the daughter will take over the franchise when everyone else is long gone. Smart move on Serena.
Now, given the you're a soccer person, is this the one that is attached to the MLS? Like the Houston Dash? Is that the same league?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah.
I know there's been a number of different women's leagues, and I sort of lost
track.
Yeah, no,
I mean, the NWSL that's the main women's league right now.
Okay.
And that'll be. I mean, I don't watch any of the games. I'm sorry.
What they've got to do.
I don't even know where they're televised.
What they've got to do is this women's group they've got to use their platform to promote this, as much as possible, and also to make sure that the conditions of this league are met across the board, because that's the one thing that has always been problematic for professional women's soccer is that eventually economics kick in and all of a sudden it's like we're sleeping three to a room and we're staying in these cheap motels and we don't even have meal money when we're on the road, and they've got to eliminate that. Like, they've got to make this as professional as possible without letting the quality or the standard be diminished in any capacity. And that might be the good thing in this league to have that many wealthy, powerful women involved to make sure that the conditions are acceptable always across the board for every team.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think it's amazing that you had all these women, but I mean, there's like 12 former U.S. women's national team players.
Yeah.
And I'm almost thinking, is that an unfair advantage?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You have all these women, probably have multiple gold medals, championships galore, because the U.S. women's national team in soccer in the world has been, it's kind of like Brazil in a way. So you just have all these accolades racked up, and all of a sudden now they're all part of one team that won't debut until 2022.
All right. Well, by the way, speaking of Natalie Portman, I just saw Beautiful Girls on the other day. Do you remember that movie from the mid-90s?
No.
It's got a huge amount of stars in it. Michael Rappaport. It's got a Noel Emmerich. They've got Mina Sorvino, Rosie O'Donnell, Matt Dillon. And Natalie Portman plays a 13-year-old kid, and she's the best character in the movie.
That reminds me of? Remember the movie The Professional with Jean Reno?
Yes, she was in that too.
She was in that.
Yeah.
I remember that came out when I was in college. I was a film major. My buddy, who was also a film major, watched that movie and said, that girl is going to be a huge star.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you see it and you're like, yeah, she's really good. She's talented. But, she's like, what, 12, 13 years old? You're like, she's not going to be a huge star. How many 12, 13-year-olds have a great role than just disappear?
During the break, Google the movie Beautiful Girls, and you'll see all the stars.
I'll do it now.
She's the best actress in that movie. She's the best, and she's like a kid. She plays a kid because the neighbor, who's played by Timothy Hutton, is kind of he's fascinated by her, and he's like, oh my God, she's great at 13. But he can't, he's like almost in love with her, but he knows that he's like, why am I in love with a 13-year-old girl who's smart and witty? It's a very good movie. It's a very good movie, and she's the best thing in it. So good for her for getting involved. What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is there's a bear with me here, okay?
Yeah.
A bunch of Polish soccer fans are actually brilliant.
This is the second soccer story now that you've done in Good, the Bad, and the Dumb.
I know.
Right, so I thought we talked about this. We're going to limit because,
Well, this one, it's starting off soccer, but it's not really about soccer, okay?
Okay, so Polish soccer game.
No, Polish soccer fans.
Fans.
Rented a bunch of cranes.
Okay.
To watch their team play in their stadium because the stadium is closed to fans.
You're going to have to hit me with why this is bad. I think that would be great.
No, it's great. But don't you see this happening everywhere now?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I can't get into SunTrust Park, but my buddy has a crane that I can see the Braves play.
Exactly. That's where I'm coming at. I mean, you can still go to the parking lot. I mean, I'm assuming. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe these are on city streets, I'm not sure. But I have a feeling now that this is out there that people are going to be like, oh, how much is it to rent a crane?
That's a great point.
We can fit 3 to 4 people on a crane.
This is going to end badly.
It's going to end badly.
You're 100% correct. Speaking of which, I heard that the rooftops by Wrigley Field are now being just astronomical amount of money.
Of course.
I mean, like,
of course, that's not regulated, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, they can just charge whatever they want. You want to watch the Cubs game from this outfield rooftop?
I remember.
Come on up for $6,000 or whatever it costs.
Living in San Diego, there was a hotel. It was a Marriott hotel. At the very top of this Marriott hotel, there was a bar that overlooked Petco Field or Petco Park.
Right.
And you could watch the game clearly. You can hear what's going on. Like, you know, when a pitcher came out, you could hear the music, you could hear the fans roar, and it looked directly down into the stadium. That's going to be one of the most crowded places on the planet.
Oh, unbelievable.
In San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% correct. Good call, because you're right. There's going to be some innovative ways people try to watch, you know, baseball this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's that odd story, like, you know, someone snuck into the stadium, was able to watch the game, you know, lay down the bleachers and watch, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that may
right.
happen. But yeah, I think, come on, if Poland can come up with it, we certainly can come up with stuff,
you're
too.
You're 100%
correct. You're going to have, like, hot air balloons flying over stadiums. I mean, all these things.
Basically, you're warning the audience right now to be wary of the next three people were critically hurt.
We're
and
not,
fell off
you know
a
what?
Crane.
For us, we're not going to worry about, you know, sex dolls being used in the stadium, okay?
Right, no.
We're beyond that. No. We're going to be worried about those guys standing on a crane, you know, having too many people in the crane and that crane tipping over.
That's right.
That's going to be right. Those are going to be the next viral videos that we're encountering.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is there was a woman who hired a hitman.
Let me guess, she was playing soccer.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
She hired a hitman.
She is a former national team player. Okay. she wanted to hire a hitman to off her ex-husband. So
right.
She did what anybody else does and go to the web. And she stumbled upon a site called rentahitman.com.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if you know this, rentahitman.com isn't a place where you can go and get hitmen. It's actually a front. They take down all the information. They act like you're trying to rent a hitman, and they take down all the information that you are wanting, and then they come up with a discreet location for you guys to meet, maybe exchange some money, talk business, and then you get arrested because you're meeting with an undercover cop.
Okay, so can you imagine the creation of this where somebody in a conference room said, look, we feel like there's a number of people who are looking for hitmen to off a particular person in their life. And we think the best way to catch these people is to create a website called hireahitman.com.
Right.
And somebody in the room went, why would people go to that? And they said, you don't know the level of intelligence of the people who are doing this. Trust us. This is going to work.
I mean, would that set up a red flag for you if you went to a website that said rentahitman.com? Oh, man, I can't believe it's here. Thank you.
Like,
just at
yes.
my fingertips.
Right, exactly. Like, oh, I really need my rival to go. How do I do this? And then you go to rentahitman.com. Wouldn't you go, yeah, you got two choices. They go, well, this looks shady. This looks like a, you know, somebody trying to catch me thinking these thoughts.
Well, I'm certain it was a well-designed website.
Or the person goes, oh my God, it's right. It's just like Amazon for killers.
Right.
This is amazing. Wow. Do I get to choose? Like, that guy looks kind of interesting. That guy does this that way. That guy uses that method. Let me pick.
Yeah.
How fun was it?
I'm going to go with the guy that makes it look like an accident.
Right. The guy that, you know, like he says, 95% of my hits look like suicides or look like accidents. Somebody creating this on the police end probably had a really good time.
Oh, I'm
this.
Certain. Because, you know, you right? got to have, like, I mean, if you when you go to VRBO, don't you look at the approval ratings?
Yeah,
you
right,
know?
Exactly.
Or don't you read the testimonials? This guy, you know, he did it cleanly, justly. I had no issues. I give him 4.5 out of 5 stars.
I give him 4.5 stars. He took out my husband in an automobile accident and make it look like the brakes just failed. I got all of his money and got him out of my life. 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I usually don't give all 5.
I don't know what we're advocating if we're just saying, hey, take care of it yourself. don't find outside sources. Maybe this just move awesome. On. What would probably be better.
That is so funny that they thought, yep, this will work.
Yeah.
And they caught people.
And they, yes. That's what bothers me. Like, so
I bet you there's a bet in an office somewhere going, I don't think this is going to work. Now, I'll bet you $20 we catch 10 people wanting to hire hitmen. They go, nah. And then sure enough, the guy's like, Bob, we just got our 20th. Come on, give me the money. It's great.
Fork it over.
I told you this would work. That's fantastic. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb here on Wednesday as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads or 2 Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michael on Twitter, this website really exists. Check out some of the testimonials. It's hilarious. So, we did. During the break. It's rentahitman.com. It's hysterical. It's amazing they caught people.
Yeah.
It almost appears like a parody. It's meant to be funny.
For the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic, our Wuhan offices will be working on a reduced schedule.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, come on. You can't take this seriously.
It's unreal. And yet people, I'm looking for a hit, man. That's great. Michael also with me gave Beautiful Girls a great testimony. Said it's a great movie. Good call. Movie reminds me of my typical New England small hometown. The characters are all guys I grew up with. Same here when I watch it. And I saw it when it came in the theaters, saw it right afterwards, said the same thing.
Well, no, I got to watch it because I grew up in a small Central California town. Yeah. Will that have the same thing? Probably
no,
not.
It's done in the winter.
Okay. Yeah.
Like one of the buddies has a snowplow business.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, the snowplow business was.
And they go ice skating.
It was a hardship, really, exactly. In Central California. Southern California.
Uma Thurman is in it, though. Young Uma Thurman is in it.
Oh, now I got to watch it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's, you know, it's one of those movies. It's well written. It's like there's a lot of dialogue, like monologue that has a lot of. Profoundness to it. It's very cool. It's, you watch it and you go, wow, this is what people who are, you know, there's a lot of funny moments in it, but there's dramatic moments and there's moments of self-reflection that are like, oh yeah, this is what happened to people who stay in their hometown and try to relive the glory days of being a big man at high school.
Oh, I'm looking at the cast.
Cast is crazy.
Yeah. The cast is a who's who. Like they became a who's who.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a Ted Demme movie. The guy, he just passed away a couple of years ago. The director, I think.
He directed it.
But Natalie Portman, again, as a 13-year-old, is the best. She's the best actress in the group. She's the best character in the group, and she really nails it.
Are you saying she's better than Rosie O'Donnell?
Rosie O'Donnell has a monologue in it that's excellent.
Is it? Does she?
Yeah, she has a monologue in there where she's walking with Matt Dillon and Tim Hutton through a pharmacy, and it's really good.
You got Mira Sorvino.
Mira Sorvino. Yeah.
Whatever happened to her? She doesn't do anything.
I don't know.
Anymore.
She's kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. Right? Yeah. So catch that. So
I'm going to have to.
I saw during when you were on vacation before I left, I saw Ford versus Ferrari.
How was that?
That was pretty good.
Still have yet to see that.
It was pretty good. I liked it. And then I saw Ad Astra with Brad Pitt, and I did not like that. I thought it was boring.
Okay.
No.
The previews for that looked amazing, though.
It did. I couldn't wait to see it, and it finally was on demand, and I was like, I'm going to watch this. And then I was kind of halfway through it. I was like, it's kind of dull.
Okay.
Wasn't really, but you know, kind of don't upsetting. Take my word for it. I'm kind of, I'm a little.
I don't know.
I'm
you're hypercritical.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I get really into the nitty gritty of it all. So, we will be speaking to Derek Barnes, author of Who've Got Game? Baseball's Amazing But True Stories. That is coming up in just a couple minutes. So, with baseball, here's a question I have for baseball, which it's a 60-game schedule. Remember how we said that the extra inning games are going to put a runner on second base, try to get this thing over with as quickly as possible? Here's one thing I could see being a problem here. You know, during the postseason, games are really super important. So because they're super important, there's a lot of overmanaging that goes on in games, right? We're going to bring in this pitcher for this one batter, and then we're going to take him out and bring another pitcher in because why not? We got to win these games. It's a short series. In a 60-game schedule, are we going to see more of that because there are going to be more teams that have a chance to make the playoffs in September than we've ever had before?
You mean just that mad scramble for
right.
2 weeks?
Because we've had
because
the season is only two months long, when you get to the halfway point, there is still going to be a lot of teams that have a chance to make the playoffs, rather than in regular 162-game seasons where by this time almost a good half of the teams don't have a chance.
Yeah,
they're playing for next season.
Are you talking about like in a regular season? By now, we kind of
right.
know
yeah.
who's in it to win it, who's not.
Right,
who's
exactly.
Who's on the bubble, who's on the fence.
So you've got games where managers go, yeah, you know what? I am going to bring in a pitcher for just two batters, and that's it. Or I mean, every game matters. It's exponentially more important that I win this Wednesday game in Atlanta than ever in the history of this franchise in
well,
September.
No, you can't bring in a pitcher anymore for two batters. Don't they have to pitch an entire inning?
Minimum of three?
I think it's a minimum of three now.
I think it's a minimum of three.
They have to do an inning.
But even then.
Yeah,
I don't think they have to complete
have
the inning. I think they just have to do three batters, right?
Ooh.
Is it three batters or three outs?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
I'll have to look into that. We have to get Steve Gardner on this.
Yeah, we got questions, Steve.
We got questions. But at the same time, even if it is just an inning or three batters, or what, you could still see over-managing here.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
You could start seeing games go a lot longer because I am making more pitching changes. Look, if I'm 25 games out of first place, I'm letting my guy go seven innings. I mean, I don't care if he gives up six runs, seven runs.
Yeah, you're
right?
done.
I mean, I'm not blowing my bullpen.
But no one's going to be 25 games out of first place this time
no.
around.
No. So you get to September 1st, September 5th. You should have 60% of the team still capable of
yeah,
making
would
the
you
postseason.
Say if you're five games out of first, you're probably still in it, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But 10 games out of first, you're out.
So you've got this mad dash to the postseason where, especially in the final 2 weeks, a lot of these games are going to go three and a half hours plus if the managers are doing what we normally think managers do in those situations, which is really analyze every single at-bat rather than saying, yeah, you know what, I'm definitely going to let this guy go 100 pitches. Just get out of here. We're 40 and 100. I mean, there's no reason to go crazy. But now, if it's like, hey, we're three games out of the wild card spot, along with 13 other teams, every game really matters. Every game is really important.
It'll be exciting, but at the same time, it probably will get annoying. When you start seeing managers bringing in a pitcher an inning, or you start seeing managers like, wow, I'm going to throw this pinch runner out there. I'm going to have this hitter come up at this at-bat and... But again, I mean, you're going to have designated hitters throughout, so there's no need to.
But you will also have, like, he's got two lefties still on the bench here in the seventh. Will he go to the left-handed batter with the, going up? Will we get that between, the Royals and the Reds in early September? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's
probably. I guess it all depends on where they're at. Because, if you're. What if you're like eight games out of first, 10 games out of first, or eight games out of a playoff spot, you're pretty much the equivalent of 25 games
That's
out of
right.
first place.
That's correct.
So you're done.
If you get off to a bad start, that's the other big question, right? Well, like, what if the Yankees come out of the gate and they're flat?
Right.
Right. Like, what if they lose like 10 out of 14?
Well, I mean, hasn't that been the argument all along? What if we have a Nationals team?
Right. And they don't have the ability to catch up from a 19-31 start because the 19-31 start pretty much ends your season.
You're done. You're done. Max Scherzer is pitching 10 innings a game.
So there's so much pressure on these managers, especially new managers, like Dusty Baker, for example, with who's taken over after A.J. Hinch got fired. He can't come. He can't be like, well, we're still learning our lineup. I'm still trying to figure out who's batting fifth on this team. Like, he's got to know pretty quickly how his lineup looks. What
first
his,
week.
You know, pretty much get this underway.
Because
you don't want to fall too many games back.
By Monday, all these managers need to be ready to go. Right?
Yeah. Like, you don't want Dusty Baker in, like, mid-September to be going, do you think he got enough to catch the A's? And you're like, really? With that lineup, he's got... He's like, I don't know. They're too strong. We blew August, so we're trying to make up ground. All right, Derek Barnes coming up next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Nation Radio. Hey, you got achy joints, achy muscles, what do you use to take? Well, we all do, right? So what do you take? Well, Blue Emu has got no chill, no burn, no odor. Number one selling emu oil brand in America, made in America. Unlike competitors, we do not use capsaicin, menthol, which is the ingredient responsible for the cold sensation. So get the number one selling emu brand oil in America. That is Blue Emu. Now let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. He is author Derek Barnes, author of Who Got Game? Baseball's Amazing But True Stories, joining us here on Wake Up Call. How are you, Derek?
Pretty good. How you doing, Tony?
All right, good. So give me the idea behind this. This is kind of fascinating that you looked into some of the sort of stories people may have heard of, sort of have some little bit of familiarity with, and sort of expanding on it.
Yeah, I'm always been a fan of the underdog and fan of the unsung hero. I approached this publishing company. I'm a children's book author. I've been known for writing picture books, chapter books, middle grade novel, but all of them have been fiction. And so I approached them with a historical sports fiction series. They didn't like it, but they liked my writing style. So they asked if I would do a nonfiction sports series, baseball, basketball, and football, with baseball being the first book. And I'm one of those Sports Center kind of sports fans. I try to keep up with everything. I'm more of a football fan. But even more than that, I'm a big history fan. So, I love digging up the history of things. And I understand the history is just not about our past. It is the indicator of our present and why things are the way they are. So I jumped head first into it, and I have so much baseball information in my head that I didn't have like a year or two ago. So it's a lot of fun writing this book, man.
So in your research, you're coming up with these stories. That what was the criteria of what stories would make the cut for a book for young readers?
Well, I wrote like maybe 70 essays, and I whittled it down into these four chapters: Pivotal Players, Sensational Stories, Radical Records, and of course, Colossal Comebacks. But after reading all 70, the ones that stuck with me the most are the ones that ended up making it. These 12 individuals that made it in the first chapter, just pretty much unsung heroes that are so pivotal to why the sport is so, so popular today. The kids may not find that they're not players that you can just, search and find on Wikipedia, but there are players that are so pivotal, like pillars to this sport today.
Jackie Mitchell was one of the interesting ones when I found out she was in your book. She was the young girl who struck out Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. I think a lot of people had heard that, had probably at some point, somebody had said, did you hear about the girl at this fair that struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig? What did you find out about her? Why she should be more prominent in the memories of baseball fans.
She said she was a 17-year-old pitcher from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And during this time, a lot of the major league teams during spring training, they played exhibition games against these barnstorming teams or these minor league teams. And she was a fascinating pitcher during this time. And I think, it was the game was supposed to be played on April the 1st. So it was supposed to be played on April 1st, 1931. And so people still think that it was an April Fool's Day prank. Yeah. But all the way up until the day she died, she swears that she really threw that heat at these two guys, and neither one of them said that it was a prank either. So, maybe it was true. Maybe this 17-year-old girl had the answer to these, gigantic heroes in this sport, man. You know, that I wish we would have had some video during that time. That would have been great.
No doubt. One of the other stories you talk about is something I was familiar with, was the 1981 minor league game in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, with the, that went 33 innings. The only reason I remember it is because I went to a Pawtucket Red Sox game back in the 90s, and they had, you could get commemorative, like the history, they had these cups that had like the entire line score around the cup. It's still prominent in Pawtucket Red Sox games. Tell us a little bit about that one and then your research.
Well, you know, I wrote down notes. Like, I wanted to find out about, you know, because baseball is all about stats. So I wanted to find out these records about what were the longest games, what were the most highest scoring games, what were the games that were most, you know, attended, least attended. And this is one of the first things I found out about this game. It happened in 1981, actually. And there were only 1,700 people there. And this game went on until 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. It lasted for 8 hours and 25 minutes. And they actually broke 13 records. They actually broke 13 records in this game for most pitches, most innings played, the, you know, most at-bats. The most players struck out, and everybody that stayed for the whole tenure of the game, they got lifetime passes at that stadium.
That's great. I did not know. That's fantastic. What is it that you hope, like, young people who read your book, and again, it is called Who Got Game? Baseball's Amazing But True Stories. For those, for young readers who read this, what's your hope, what's your takeaway, what's your hope that they get out of it?
My hope is, you know, like, you know, we couldn't squeeze everything into this book. Like I said, I even left some things out. But my hope is that these kids are, you know, the way I was when I was a kid, man. I like tripping down those rabbit holes, like finding out information and then finding out more information and picking up other names and teams and stats, and continue just to be not only a fan of baseball, but just to be a lifelong seeker of knowledge, information, you know, and just be a lifelong reader, because that's my goal, obviously, as a children's book author. But just to continue to seek out knowledge and information that you don't have right now, you know.
It's funny because history, like history immortality, is not promised to anybody. People have come and gone in the history books. You know, people were one time famous, then all of a sudden there's lack of interest and they sort of disappear into history. But, you know, you talk about a player like Roberto Clemente, who had 3,000, exactly 3,000 hits before dying in a tragic plane accident. I get worried with the younger generation and their interest in baseball if some of these important baseball players do get lost to history.
Yeah, they do. And again, you know, just like I was saying, it's so important that we understand the people that came before us, the people that actually paved the way for this sport. I dedicated this book to the Kansas City Urban League Youth Academy, and there's a lot of organizations like that around the country because the numbers of African American players have plummeted, you know, throughout the past few decades. But you know, a lot of these kids that love basketball and football, they don't know about Rube Foster, they don't know about Satchel Paige or just the Negro Leagues, man, and why that's so important in regards to present day baseball. So just trying to keep that information alive, you know.
Derek, I really appreciate your time and good luck with the book. Again, it's Who Got Game? Baseball is Amazing But True Stories. Where can people find it?
You can find it on BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, or you can always find it at your local independent bookstore. I know you guys are in Houston, but all over the country, man.
Absolutely. Derek, thank you so much, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. Take
care. You got it. Absolutely. Derek Barnes, again, author of Who Got Game? Baseball's Amazing But True Stories. On a Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Hit us up on Twitter if you'd like, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we continue along on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage, Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hey, our friend Andrew Stocky, remember him from Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Came on to talk Steelers, and he is tweeting out that there has now been an agreement. It's coming. It's going to be official. The Toronto Blue Jays will be sharing a park with the Pittsburgh Pirates in the city of Pittsburgh this upcoming season.
I still find that amazing that they don't share a single home game.
Right. Again, it's just, that is amazing. Maybe they're redoing the schedule. I don't know.
They have to. There's
like the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Rays and the Mets and they got to go to Pittsburgh now.
They don't, but statistically, that just doesn't make sense.
Like, I'm not a schedule maker, so maybe there's tricks to the trade. I don't know, but I find it amazing that every single time the Blue Jays were scheduled a home game, the Pirates were going to be on the road. So this was an easy fit.
Now, what happens? Because they're both in the East, right? Or is Pittsburgh
in the Central? Yeah,
so they don't even. There's no conflict there either.
Yeah, none. I guess you could just apparently use whatever ballpark that accommodates your need. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's such a shame. Why can't they use that one in Buffalo?
I know.
Can't you use their AAA field? I mean, most of those guys came up through there, so they're familiar with the place. They're familiar with the surroundings.
Yeah, they should. I don't know. It should be interesting.
Maybe it's too easy for crane access?
Maybe so. Maybe so. So I saw this one story about the upcoming season where they said, all right, 60 games. And they said, could somebody hit 400? And you know my answer is? Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Like, so what if somebody hits 400 in a 60-game schedule? Now, if somebody hits 73 home runs or something,
we're counting that.
Okay, then I'm counting that, right? If somebody hits a home run in 50% of their at-bats, then I'm counting that.
Yeah.
But I'm not counting a batting average of 400.
Can you imagine? Would we consider a record if someone finished the season with 30-plus home runs?
That's a good – you know what's a good question is what is based on – the statistics in the past, what's statistically good for the 60-game season?
Like, would you be surprised if someone was hitting 500 at the end of the season?
I'd be surprised if it was 500. I wouldn't be surprised if it was four. If somebody had four. But one every two at-bats getting a hit, I'd be kind of shocked about that.
There's going to be some games where someone goes 4 for 4.
So if 81 games is half and 60 games is, 30-something percent?
I don't know. You promised me there's no math today.
There was no math. I'm doing the math off the top of my head, so forgive me.
Michael?
But is 20 home runs good? Like, is that really good?
I mean, it would have to be, right? 20 home runs out of 60 games? That's amazing.
Yeah, I got to think that's amazing. I got to think that's incredible.
That's a home run every three at-bats.
See, I don't want to – I'm too lazy. I don't want to go into the statistics and then figure out the percentage of good years, MVP years, as to what the equivalent is on a 60-game schedule. I don't want to deal with that. But also, too, all of these numbers are skewed because
I did the math.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so 60 home runs in a 182-game season is about a home run every third at bat.
Okay.
So if you hit 20 home runs, you're on pace for 60.
All right.
In a full season.
That's very good.
So 20 home runs would be amazing.
That would be amazing. All right.
Far more realistic than my 30 home runs. I have to imagine someone's going to get 20 home runs.
I got to think somebody's hitting 20 home runs in this shortened season. I think somebody will. Let's see. I wonder what the over-under is. But listen, also, too, and here's why it could be easier. Because the way the schedule is, you're playing your divisional teams a lot in this stretch. You're not going through a West Coast road trip where you could get in a slump. You're playing pretty much the same guys.
Yeah, that's where the Astros and the Rangers got the raw end of the deal.
Yeah, but it's compressed. You're playing. Yeah, I mean, you're doing it during a 162 game season. You play your division a lot, but this is going to be compressed. It's going to be right together.
The Astros. I mean, because they're in the West, they're constantly traveling
all the time. Yeah, that's the one downfall of this. I mean, is that the Western teams have got to really hit the road.
Yeah, this is when you hope you're a Central team.
Yeah, that's right.
There. I mean, if you're Chicago, if you're the Cubs or White Sox, you definitely have an advantage. Because, I mean, what's the farthest you're flying to? Maybe, now I guess maybe Pittsburgh?
Like, even in the AL East, that Boston, New York, Philly, Washington, Baltimore, that whole little area there. It's like that's where majority of your games are going to be. You know, just you don't have to boogie that far to go to on the road. Yeah, you got to venture down to Atlanta and Miami and Tampa, but you know, the majority of your games is going to be within a very short radius, especially if you're in New York, where the Yankees play the Mets, go down, you know, play the Phillies, go down and play the Nationals, play Baltimore, go up and play the Red Sox, and, you know, disappear to Pittsburgh for a couple of days now to play the Blue Jays. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I'm embracing it. Listen, I know there's detractors like, this is not realistic. What else you got? This is the best they can do. Right, they put together this 60 games. Sure, the players wanted, you know, 80 games at their prorated rate, but they didn't get it. They got 60 at their prorated rate. You know, and now we'll see how it goes. A stretch run with these quirky baseball rules. So you got the Dodgers and the Giants and the Yankees and the Nationals on Thursday, and then there's 14 games on the schedule Friday, and we'll be off and running. We'll see where this goes, and if a team gets massive amounts of corona and they have to forfeit games, I got to forfeit games. You know, let us cross that bridge when we get there. Because if we cross the bridge before we get there, we'll cancel everything. Right? If the answer to the coronavirus is, well, what if a team gets it? What if a full NBA team gets it? This is not going to work. Well, what are they supposed to do? Just cancel this? No. If it happens, they'll have a discussion. They'll figure it out. That will go through the protocol. The team will be eliminated. The team will have to be sent home. Whatever it is that they do, and we continue. And if it's altered and it doesn't feel right, whatever, but you're getting product. So, yeah, with baseball traveling all over the country, even if it's in your geographical area, but you're still traveling around the country, I can't imagine a two-month period where the coronavirus doesn't lay the heavy hammer on some team. But the reality is it's better than having nothing at all. And it starts tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. Jake Asman Show is coming up next. For Tony D, Ron Culver, have a good day.